Hey, it's Asania, baby.
Hey, it's Deshaun, baby.
And it's a light bulb moment.
Hell yeah. It's a motivational podcast.
Sure is. Mm-hmm.
Is it?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Y'all check it out. Check it out. Hey, what's up, y'all? And today we're going to talk about the art of not giving up.
Bleeped it out for us already. Not giving an F.
Right.
F-U-C-K.
It's an art to
me. If you got children, it is an art to me.
It's like a very fine art that you have to really sit and think about. And it takes time.
Yeah. It does.
It's working into your life.
It's crazy.
Right.
So what was the book about?
The subtle art of not giving. That's a long title.
The subtle art of
not giving a fuck. Yeah. It's what he calls it, a counterintuitive way to personal development. So basically, it's kind of like taking your negatives and going after them, I feel, and not relying solely on positive, but balancing out your life and kind of taking from both. That's what I feel it's about. But he thinks it's about finding something important and meaningful in your life is the most productive use of your time and energy. This is true because every life has problems associated with it, and finding meaning in your life will help you sustain the effort needed to overcome the particular problems you face. Thus, we can say that the key to living a good life is not giving the fuck about more things, but rather giving the fuck only about the things that align with your personal values.
Skadoosh. So basically, not putting energy in to things that have no true relevancy to the productivity of your life.
Right. And it takes time, because especially when you start really paying attention to what matters and what doesn't matter. And I think we all start as we grow. You know, it takes time to really kind of stop caring about this and start caring about that. You know what I mean?
I think it's trained.
Yeah.
Whatever your discipline, what is your environment affects you. Like, think about the poor guy who grew up and saw the cat, the drug dealer with money or something like that, or somebody with money, or the people in his neighborhood who had something and he didn't have it. So he gives a F more about trying to come up and have something or looking a certain way or presenting himself, you know what I'm saying, with whatever trend is going on at that point in time and being able to fit in society. I mean, fit in with popular culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just his own personal development as an individual, he or she. What did you realize about yourself?
I had a couple of...
learn about the art of not giving up.
I had a couple of light bulb moments when I was when I was reading the book. I think sometimes I need to prioritize, because I try to care about everything. Contrary to popular belief, I know people think I don't care about
it. Yeah, because I'm sitting here looking dumbfounded. Like, right. Really, you?
But I do. I try to give effort into everything I do. I almost feel like this book gave me the permission to not give effort into everything. Because by giving effort to everything, I'm not giving enough effort to certain things. So I think this book kind of... It almost gave me like a cheat sheet. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like a hall pass. You know, like...
It showed you like, okay, maybe that feeling wasn't too wrong when I was not giving as much energy into other people's stuff.
Exactly. And even some of my own stuff. So it definitely made me sit back and think that, you know, maybe you should really just not give a fuck.
Did you realize how much more you were investing energy into stuff that you never would have before? And I actually think there's a cause, in my opinion, behind that. Okay. Go ahead. From your perspective, and then I'll give you my perspective.
I'm sorry, ask me one more time.
Did you, when you start trying to learn the art of not giving a F, did you realize how many things that you had started, like, that you give?
Were given an unnecessary energy to?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I feel like the things, they came kind of immediate for me. Because they're just, it's like a lot going on in my life.
Right.
And I have a hard time organizing.
Okay.
So I think one of the biggest things I need to do is prioritize and really think about what is worth, you know, the adversity, or what's right. worth the time, what's worth the energy, and what's not, or what's not as important. Because I think with a lot of things, I'm not going to just like stop doing stuff,
right?
But I am going to pull back, take a step back in a lot of different ways.
That's what I realized I had to start doing. I realized I was giving energy to not even just my own personal stuff,
right?
But I was taking on other people's personal stuff,
right?
And I'm in this spiritual journey, I'm realizing not even just like people that I know when I say personal stuff. Like, I'll give you an example. When I'm on the MARTA train, I feel like I'm observing everybody's life, and I'm watching how working class people operate and how we put into this system and this bubble, and looking at the overall machine that has been created for human beings and society.
Right.
And I'll start letting that overwhelm my psyche and where I'm at. And I'm realizing, okay, I'm taking too much on. I'm giving an F about something that
like it's starting way, to affect you.
Yeah, that's way too big of a problem for me to try to take on and resolve,
right?
Or even tap into. So why am I investing energy into that? Because that's messing with my mental state.
Right. Now, when it comes to stuff outside of my life, I kind of don't give a fuck. Like, if I was on the MARTA train, I'd just be kind of saying that. Like,
right, but most people like, don't.
And then we don't get off. Yeah.
Right, like, most people just like, yeah, look at all these other ass tired, sleepy ass people, man. They get away from y'all.
Right. But when it comes to things that I really deal with and that I have hands-on situations with, I do feel like sometimes I can't. And that's what the book said. You can't be great at everything. Like, I think that's
real.
It's something I already knew, because you can't be great at everything. But just to hear somebody else say it, you know, sometimes you need somebody else to kind of tell you what you already know. Like, you just can't be great at everything. Like, chill. Find what you really want to do.
Right.
Find what you think you're passionate about and what you're willing to suffer for and go through hell for, and do that. Don't be trying to do all this other stuff that you don't really care about.
Now, you know what's crazy? Is you saying that, so find something that you're really good at and then become extraordinary at it.
Right.
Now, if people said that, that would be a better way of saying everybody can be extraordinary than saying
all of y'all are average.
All y'all. Well, right. But, and even that, trying to say that everybody can be extraordinary. Because when you say that, that's a general statement. Like, okay, I'm just extraordinary at everything I do when you say it, versus saying you're an average person.
Right.
But everybody has something about themselves that they're extraordinary at.
Right, exactly.
So figure out what that is and home in on it.
Right.
And versus going around telling everybody, you can be great. You can be great.
Right.
And you can be great. We can all be great, and that's not true.
You get a car.
You don't, right. And you don't have to be average. And because it was funny how he said that. He's like, well, if everybody's extraordinary, then that just recreated what the average is.
Right. If we're all extraordinary, we're all average.
We're still average all over again. Right. So it's kind of like counterintuitive.
Yeah. I like that.
That stood out to me. Like, why are you going around trying to be extraordinary at everything? And then you're going to exhaust yourself. It's just way too much stuff.
You're going to go crazy.
Right. Because you're comparing yourself to somebody if you're trying to be extraordinary at everything.
So, yeah. It's a good read. It is. I had a good time reading it. It was a lot of moments.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, yeah. I
really like how because I've been feeling this way for the longest, and I know I'm not the only person that feels this way, but how social media and technology really has us.
I know.
Just, oh man, by the balls. And just, right, like you can't live your life anymore and be comfortable with the space you're in. Because if you feel like you're in a bad space, or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in life, like the example of the old man who, okay, he's just having a rough time in life. Or he's just having a rough time, and he's just assuming it was life. He didn't have anybody else's life to compare it to. But now you go on social media and you got like 8 to 10 to 20 to 30 people showing their awesome experiences every day, making you feel inadequate.
I think it also affects us indirectly. It's like, I'm not even trying to look for these people on social media, but they're still popping up all the time.
right.
Like, I'm not even trying to look at y'all.
Look what I did today. Look what I did. And you just sitting there like, I have done nothing like that.
Right.
But That's their lifestyle.
Like, I wasn't even depressed at first until I got on social media. Like, I was having a good day. I was fine.
You know what? I minimized it. I minimized my social media use to, like, maybe once or twice a week.
I did not give a fuck about social media.
You have to. Mm-hmm. You have to, because social media have you giving a fuck about too much stuff.
Right.
That's not going to help you grow.
Right. You got to not give up about social media.
Interesting. Unless it serves a purpose for you, you make money off it. Then you gives a lot of
totally different story
about social media because it's a goal.
Because that's not just social media; that's your money.
That's business.
Yeah, that's different.
True. Mm-hmm. True. See, I hope y'all growing from this. I hope y'all getting something from this.
I is.
So, what else did you get from the book?
The whole entitlement thing. It made me feel like I stopped and was like, "Wait a minute, am I entitled?" Like, because I like how he flipped it. Like, the person who thinks that they deserve everything in the world, they're entitled, as well as the person who is playing victim, they're entitled too.
Right, because so they want somebody to feel bad for exactly. them because of their victim state. Because
entitlement basically is kind of thinking that you're special in some type of way and thinking you need special treatment because you aren't like everybody else. But I like how he said, More than likely, the problem that you have, it's already been had before.
Right.
Like, it's not a new thing. So you're not special. You just need to get out your own shit.
It's funny because that's how I feel about every, like, with that perspective, that really helps me with my issues.
Right.
Because you don't feel like you're alone. You don't feel like you're in a hole. Because sometimes feeling like you don't know what I'm going through it is even worse. Because now you don't even know how to get out of it. Right. You don't even know who to go to to ask for assistance. Mm-hmm. Now, having that perspective, anything I go through, I know I just need to find the right person that can help me with this issue.
Right.
And help me get out of it instead of going to everybody. Like, let me find a specific person who's been through this, who's conquered it, and then learn how to grow
who
from
you
this.
Know can help you.
Yep.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Another thing I liked how you said you are responsible for everything in your life. Like, even when, like, I like how he gave the idea of the short guy who was having a hard time dating.
Right.
But instead of him taking responsibility for, you know, just who he is and dating accordingly, he instead focused on tall girls. It was some type of little analogy he gave. It was funny, too. And it just kind of makes you think that if we took responsibility for everything in our life, I think we would get a little further ahead.
Yeah, but you're accepting responsibility because I do that.
Right.
I feel like I take...
And you won't waste as much time.
Well, I was wrong or right. But here's the thing. Once you take the responsibility for it, accepting it, and also making peace with it, because that's the next phase.
Right.
Because once you accept it and assume responsibility for it, you can't beat yourself up. Because you got to think about, there's going to be some bad stuff or some negative stuff that happens to you that you got to own.
Right.
And some people would just be like, people would be like, fuck it, okay, I did that. And I'm good and move forward. That's actually a healthy mentality versus people like, damn, man, I can't believe I did that. Why? Now I can't bounce and dwell on it for a long period of time. So,
I know, right?
You're getting that love.
Shut up.
You're getting that love.
Love from a bill collector. They love me.
This is, you gotta have the art of not giving a fuck about the bill collectors.
Right. I don't know.
That's actually a mentality I had to take when trying to pay my monthly bills.
Right.
You gotta not give an F and understand that these are gonna be coming every month. And
don't get evicted. Not giving
I'm not saying not.
Lights off,
pay
not
it.
Giving up.
Mask on.
Right, exactly. But,
yeah, man. Just where was I going with this?
Taking responsibility.
Taking responsibility, man. Right. And then making peace with it.
Right.
I think that's the part that he's just like, all right, own your shit.
Right. Damn, that phone disturbed me. But I also liked how he said, oh crap, it was just in my head. If I think a little harder. About what not giving up is. It's how he said that it's, it doesn't mean that you are indifferent.
No, he said being indifferent is like being apathetic.
Right, it doesn't, that's not what it means.
That's not healthy.
Yeah, that's not
what it means. He's just an asshole at that point.
Right.
Yeah, not giving an F doesn't mean become apathetic in life. and right. be nonchalant,
shrugging at everything,
attitude
right.
towards everything.
Right.
It's more about learning how to put your energy into the right place.
Exactly.
Because no, apathy is extremely unhealthy.
Right.
Okay. I have met some apathetic people, and I used to be one of them. It was crazy because I kind of mastered this as a child. This art of not giving an F, but then it got too bad to it was turning into apathy.
Right. You didn't care about nothing.
Indifference, and I didn't care about anything because I didn't understand that balance. It wasn't that I wasn't supposed to care about anything. I just wasn't supposed to be putting energy into the wrong things. And I used to do that a lot.
Right.
A whole lot.
And he gave the example of his mom having an issue with a friend over money. And he was like, you know, he got mad and like, no, we gon'. And then he didn't give a F about the friend.
Right.
Like, that's where his energy kind of, I guess, went towards. Not towards, but I guess, instead of, like, caring about, you cared about the right person, basically.
Right.
He put his energy into his mom and her issue.
Right.
Versus just not giving a fuck about anything. And what he didn't give a fuck about, we gonna do everything we can to get your money back
from this person.
Right. And we gonna sue the shit out of them, and we gonna make sure that they pay extra much for it. I don't care what happened to him.
As a businessman, you kind of have to have that mentality.
Right.
Because when it comes time to collect your money, you need your money.
Right. I don't care.
I don't care who you are, going through. Your family, what your issues are. I need my, and, you know, even with doing barter exchanges or exchanging products or somebody's doing business, doing service for you. That's the toughest part about doing business, especially with friends.
I know.
Because you want to not, you know, you want to care,
right.
And you want to give them time, and you don't want to come off pushy and everything, but you kind of got to be like, no, fuck that. I don't care about you. We had an agreement. This is a service you offered. I need my product because you're going to want to get paid on time.
Right.
I need my product on time.
Right.
So, like, you have to take this mentality. I know what I wanted to tell you. Go back. I know we're going backwards, and this is horrible. We get this more organized when it comes to that. But the entitlement. You know who are some of the most entitled individuals? Mm. And I never realized how entitled we were? Mm. Servers.
Yeah.
Servers have a ridiculous level of entitlement for little to no work.
Right. I don't know about little to no work.
Okay, maybe. Because come on, man, that job is not as hard and strenuous as we make it out to be. And really, once you take the order and put the food in, if you have your steps of service and you have control of your table,
right?
Is it really a lot of work once you get everybody situated? Because you only got, like, let's say, a 4 or 5 table section.
Right. I'm going to say this about serving. Okay, you're right. There is entitlement. But the reason there's entitlement with serving is because you don't get paid. So there's a reason for the entitlement, in my opinion. It's not like we making $10, $15 an hour expecting tips. It's like,
but you go get a tip and you go make money and you still making more money than most people. But let somebody not give you 20% on the table because you feel as a server that you deserve 20%. Every time. I've never met a server who didn't feel like
25.
They should that they shouldn't get 20% on every table, whether they gave bad service, average service, mediocre service, they were having a rough day.
If I gave bad service, I'd be under them, and sometimes, I get it. You know, see that little 504, you know what,
yeah,
it's cool.
Right, but we don't take some, a lot of people don't take that, because how many times have you heard, man, you could have gave me that extra dollar?
Right.
They shorted me $4.
Right.
But as the night goes on, you're going to still be getting tips. Somebody's going to give you that extra dollar. Somebody's going to give you that extra $4. The end of the night is going to average out to about what you thought you wanted to get at by the end of the day. And you're still walking with $250, $300, $400, $500, $600. Most people, it takes the average individual to make that in a week. You're making that in a night. And you complaining about $1 on the table.
I just can't get down with it. Because it's a harder situation. I do get the entitlement. I do get that. Because people feel like they're entitled to a certain amount. But I also feel like the environment and the things that the restaurant do, they have created that entitlement. You know what I'm saying? It's a environmental entitlement more so to me. more than it's just, I'm the shit, I deserve this. It's more so, you know, we have standards. This is what we go by. You know, the standard tip is 20%. I want 20%. It's more like, it's that.
Is the standard tip really 20%? Or is the tip really, tips, what's the origins of tips was based upon the level of service and the kind of service you got. And what you wanted and what you, you know, what the guests expected from you.
Right.
It's not about what the server expects from the guests. It's about what the guest expects from the server.
But if I gave you everything you got and you still didn't tip me accordingly.
But not everybody necessarily sees that as quality. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and at the end of the day, I never.
Expectations when it comes to how they want to be handled as a guest.
Right. And that's true, too. And I never really, really get mad at guests once I got a bad tip. Because I feel like if things were really right, it would just be a grant, period. I feel, personally. Because you really can't make a person give you anything. At the end of the day, it's really up to them to tip you however much they want to tip you. So I feel that's why it's a funny situation with service because you only making $213 an hour. So you can't help but feel some type of way.
That's where the stress comes from. I understand that.
Right.
But we looking at... But we're treating the game like checkers and not chess. And at the end of the day, when you look at the whole versus the individual tips or the individual situations that have occurred, and you look at the... Because at the end of the day, when you count your money, you count your money as a whole. You're not counting those individual tips that you got through the day. But throughout the day, you tallying all your individual tips.
Right. And also about making more. I know people who make a lot more than us, so I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't always like using that example because I know people with real jobs who make real money. So I don't always like saying that.
But is it a job where they have gone out and acquired the skill? And service going to be mad at me for this.
That shit easy. But, everybody know that.
Right.
But it's.
You ain't had to go to school to wait tables?
But. To take up for servers, it's easy to do, but it's still a lot of easy. You're still going to be tired.
You lost me on that lot of easy because it's a job.
You're going to be tired. Like, it's work. It's still work.
It's work.
Yeah. Like, it's easy. It's not a hard thing to understand, but it's still work. It's not like you just going to work and sitting down and doing nothing. Like, you're walking around. You're moving. You're carrying shit. You're going to be tired. Like, it's not...
But it's not a job that requires you to grow and become better at what you like. Once you got your certain thing down, right, there's no real challenge to it. You're not going like, okay, I'm about to work on this set or this skill today.
Well, you know what? Really, that's up to you. That's up to you. Do you want to become a better server and do better things? Do you want to learn wireless? Do you want to move up and serve here and serve there and serve there? That's really up to you. That's a personal decision.
True.
So... You know, that depends.
Stop challenging my...
I'm just saying.
Like, challenging my shit, man. Stop trying to shoot my point down.
I'm not. Yeah, taking that service. I gotta take up the service, all right? It's a part of me.
Yo, it's gonna be a lot of people that's looking at me sorry. Right. A lot of this shit later on, too.
You don't get jumped at work.
Right.
Kill him.
It's cool. I can defend myself.
Can you?
But the entitlement thing, man, that was a big one. That was one of the biggest things. Like, do you deserve it? Because you put in the work and effort that's required to attain what you want. Or, you know, you just feel like, because who I am and what I do, you should give it to me.
So is entitlement ever fair? Do you ever have a right to feel how you feel? Do you ever have a right
to
feel?
Yeah, if you bust your chops to acquire it, yeah. If you put in that hard, think about the dude who's Jimmy. Think about the story of Jimmy. When he's talking about Jimmy just felt entitled. He never really put any...
Oh, yeah, he never do shit.
He just thought he had a good mouthpiece.
Right.
He was able to word stuff. He had this high level... I mean, this high sense of entitlement.
Right. Now, that's
and
different.
What he deserved. You know what I'm saying? He never put forth the day's hard work to get this stuff. Like, this podcast stuff, when we blow up, I'm telling you, when we blow up, I'm going to feel it. Yeah, I wish they could see the hand gestures and everything. I'm serious. I'm serious about this. When this blows up, because we're putting in work for this.
Right, right.
This is not just like, oh, they dropped a few episodes and people, you know, or they recorded themselves a few times and then they put it out and people liked it. No, we're trying to figure this stuff out. This is a process.
So would you say we're extraordinary?
No.
Okay.
Right now we're averaging a podcast, bro.
Okay.
We may be extraordinary to other people because we're taking a step out and trying to do the podcast thing.
Okay.
But in that sense, but for that, for the most part as a whole, no, we're average because we're just two other fish in a big podcast.
A huge pond.
There ain't no pond. That's a lake. It's a river.
It's an ocean.
It's an ocean. It's a big old ocean. Right. So, are we really that extraordinary? Are we? It's everybody else we are because we're trying it. But to people who are already doing this, we just are part of another group of individuals.
This was a good book.
Book was dope,
it was
son.
A good book. It was.
Book was dope as
it really
hell,
just
man.
Made you think, like, wait a minute.
Right.
You talking about me? I don't do that. I do that. He talking about me.
It's a good read. I think people should do that. If only you should read it if you're in the position of trying to grow and become better. I think it would give you a balanced perspective of what you're doing. Because every self-help book I've been reading before this, all the self-help and the positive motivating things that I've been absorbing have always been like, find the happiness, find the love, right. Find the peace, find this. And this book is like, nah, look at the ugly, right. Look at the nasty, look at the dirty, look at how average you are, look at yourself and learn how to accept the real and the nasty, the pain, the adversities, because the biggest thing that I got from this is the adversities in life are what make you grow, evolve, and mature. Without adversities, there would be nothing challenging you in life to make you a better person.
Right. True. True.
So
it was a great read.
Great. Look, if y'all enjoyed this conversation and y'all enjoyed the topic at hand, the Art of Not Giving a Fuck, the book is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
By Mark Manson.
I would say check it out. It's a really good read. It's a short read. You could probably finish it in a couple of hours if you're a speed reader, or even get the Audible, yo. You know, we're not getting anything from this, but if you want to grow and you're looking to improve yourself, I would seriously say invest in this book. And it's not going to take a lot of time out of your day or your life.
I think anybody can learn something from it, because one of the things he said in the book is that you're always growing in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It also reminded me a little bit of 15, Invaluable Laws of Growth. That's a good one. But basically, even when you're, like, you're always going to have problems. And problems bring adversity, which brings growth. So even when you are 95 and you undid everything, you may be focusing on something else. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you untraded your problems. You upgraded your problems to something else.
Your problems will be stupid retarded at 95, probably.
You probably gonna be worried about your great grandkids.
You're trying to figure out how to pass a bio at that point.
Yeah.
Yo, it's time for the light bulb moment. What was your light bulb moment of the
conversation? I said it
earlier. You said it?
Mm-hmm. I forgot it. That's why I can't say it again. It was illuminating, though.
I'm done. I was just going to start a face behind illuminating. It's just, I guess, I don't really have one.
Okay. You probably said it earlier, too.
See? I did. I don't have one. I feel like
next time, we're going to write stuff down.
It's going to be, yeah.
It's real freestylish today.
Stupid freestylish.
Y'all still had a good time. Don't even act like that.
Well, I enjoyed discussing this, man. I hope y'all enjoyed the conversation. Oh, you about to pull up the affirmation?
Right.
Oh, we almost forgot about the affirmation. Yeah, we got to throw the affirmation. What's the affirmation? Bust it.
I am willing to let my anxious thoughts go. Each day I embrace a laid-back attitude.
Just chill.
You stupid.
You should Let's just settle down. That's what you need to do. Just chill and cool. I just freestyled that. Yeah, man. Embrace a laid-back attitude.
That's what's up.
It's not a bad thing.
I'm okay with this. I almost want to read it again.
You should.
Yeah.
It's always better the second go around.
No, now I'm reading this next book, and it's a lot.
Yeah, your face. Yeah. Yeah,
it's good, though. It's good. It is good. But it packs in a lot.
Well, we're going to pack it in for them in the next show.
Cool. So we'll see y'all next time.
Yo, y'all be good. Asenia, Oh, man.
I'm Deshaun.
I'm Asenia. Where you want to check you all at?
I'm at Deshaun Duran on everything. LBM Podcast, at LBM Podcast on everything. And
I'm at Alcineer 17 at everything.
Oh. I think he's mocking me.
Yeah, you're mocking me. But it's all good, baby. Yo, y'all have a nice day. Stay blessed.
Because I don't give a fuck. Ha 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 ha!